The Nikki Glaser Podcast.
Here's Nikki.
Yeah, here I am. Hello, everyone. It's Nikki Glaser. It's the Nikki Glaser Podcast. How are you all doing this Wednesday morning? I hope you're doing well. I don't hope you're having fun because you'll get hoped that later. But let's start it off. Noah, I love when you introduce me. It makes me feel so good. I want to let everyone know that we do listen to the intro song and we dance along to it before we get in. It lifts my spirits. Anya Marina, check her out. She has a Patreon. Noah, how are you?
I'm good.
Yesterday, what a whirlwind. Thank you all for, you didn't know that any of that happened, but someone had commented on our Instagram. Listen, if there isn't lost audio, it's not a Nikki Glaser podcast. And you know what? I like that that's our brand. We're winging it here in the Cayman Islands. But we have, I didn't mind taping two episodes at all. It was so fun. I was actually like grateful because I was like so amped up from Conan that I didn't want to stop talking. And Conan, it came out, I gotta say, Noah, like last night my parents watched Conan and then they texted me, like as they were watching it, they're always the first to text me anything I'm on because they, you know, watch things live like old people. And they wrote, for an episode, first of all, on Conan, I talked about how I like compliments and how I need them to be like good compliments. I mean, my mom goes, first of all, I told my mom to watch the documentary Don't Fuck with Cats a couple days ago. And then I got a text from her on Sunday. OMG exclamation mark. Don't fuck with cats. 4 exclamation marks. Oh my God. Exclamation mark. Then my Conan appearance. Killed it on Conan. 4 exclamation marks. Not bad. And you look amazing too. 1 exclamation mark. Okay. I know everyone's like, how could that be better? That's fine. That was fine. That was actually like a good response. Then I go, oh good. Funny? Question mark. And then I asked some questions. I said, I felt weird about the hall pass thing, but that convo really did happen and I didn't plan for it to. Where I told Conan he's my hall, one of my hall passes. I really did. I was like really worried yesterday that was going to come across like I was like hitting on a married man, but it was just like anecdotal because I just talked to, I don't even have a boyfriend to make a hall pass with, but his name had come up the day before. So I felt like I have to prove to you, Conan, that you are fuckable. And she just goes, it was really good. And then my dad wrote, great job on Coco, exclamation mark, exclamation mark. Really funny. Looking great too, exclamation mark. I know these are like, what more could you ask for? My parents are so effusive with their compliments that these are like a B minus of a compliment. I just have to say. So, and based on my Conan appearances from the past, like, they just didn't measure up. So to me, this was probably not my best Conan appearance. And that's okay because you can't always top yourself. And sometimes you have to have peaks or valleys to have peaks. And I said, oh, good. You never know how they edit it. He said, bad edit on the first commercial break. And I'm like, okay, well, that's... I go, well, there's no place to cut, I guess. That's not my fault. He said, they just stopped you in mid-sentence. I go, oh, well, it will be full online. No one watches the show live anyway. He said, well done as usual, period. I said, thanks, tried my best, exclamation mark. He goes, you nailed it, and I could tell you were having fun. Loved it. When someone says, I could tell you were having fun, equals not a good compliment. Like, just have fun out there. It looked like you had fun.
Why did they have to include that last part about the edit? Like, that's a note to, you know, the editor or something, not
my
you.
My dad can't help himself but saying like things that he, because you know what, he thinks I could have stopped and been like, hey, do you want me to give you a good commercial outro, like where it would end naturally? Like, he thinks I could have cut in there and done something, and that's why I had to say it's not my fault. But it's just like, he always gets mad. You know what he gets mad about? He gets mad when people don't intro me correctly. They don't tout my accomplishments enough. That article, it was great, but they only said you appear regularly on Conan and do the roast. They didn't say that you had your own shows. They didn't say that you tour theaters. You have Netflix specials. And I go, Dad, they can't copy and paste my IMDb in a tweet. You know, it's going to take up too many characters. We have a lot to talk about on the show today. Not just my accomplishments, but major why am I running out of words today? Major
breaking news.
Yeah, breaking news. Thank you. God, breaking news? Really, Nikki? You can't conjure that?
Breaking, it's okay, I'm here.
Thank you. It's been a long morning. Major news out of the Andrew Collin headspace. It's really only major news to him. The rest of it's going to change his life drastically, and we'll find out what that is. You probably already know if you follow him on Instagram. Right after this. Hey, Andrew.
Good morning, Nikki. Good morning, baby cakes lover.
Oh, no. Welcome to the show. Noah and I have already kicked it off, but we wanted to bring you in to... I mean, I kind of teased the good news. Well, I said you had good news. The news broke last night at about, I would say, 11 o'clock p.m.
Yeah.
What happened? Tell me how it went down. How did you sleep, first of all? I bet you slept great based on this news. Or, you know what? I bet you slept terribly because you couldn't stop checking it and, like, reveling in it. Right, Noah? I bet he didn't sleep well.
That's what... Yeah, I guarantee Andrew was up all night refreshing
and
whatever we're about to reveal.
All right, so...
Be honest with us. Are we
right?
I'm
going to take you through it.
Wait, were we right? Did you sleep not well last night?
I slept better than I've ever slept in my life. I'm not even kidding.
Did you sleep on the couch?
No, I slept in the bed. Fully naked. Gross. Like a fucking champ. Okay, I'll tell you what happened.
I didn't ask that part, but okay.
Okay, so there's a lot of things behind the scenes of what I'm going to tell you. So for a long time, we all know my struggles with this, with getting a blue check mark.
Let's talk about the blue check mark for those of our listeners who don't know. And I don't want to bore the ones who do know. Let's talk about it in an interesting new way.
Yeah.
A blue check mark. What does it mean to you to get a blue check mark on Instagram?
I'm going to get into that.
I'm just coaching you through it.
I don't need coaching.
You can do it, champ. Sit on the bench. Take this one out.
I thought I'm starting.
Oh, wait. You're starting to go get orange slices for everyone else.
I'm very excited about... Okay, fine. Fuck it. I'm just going right to the chase. Is that what you want?
I
got a blue check mark last night. I'm not going to take you through
the
story.
He's going to go to the chase, and he's going to cut to the end.
I'm cutting to the chases.
Yes, cut chases.
Chase Crawford, you're fucking out of here.
Cut him.
He's hot, though.
Hot guy.
And his sister married Tony Romo.
Oh, whoa.
Tony Romo?
Yeah. Tony Romo?
A ton of Romo. Antonio Romo.
A ton of Romo. I mean, that is a ton of
Romo. So I got a blue check mark last night. I wanted a blue check mark. I know, ha, 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 like it doesn't mean anything. It meant a lot to me to be recognized by the Instagram Academy.
Andrew is verified.
I'm verified on Instagram. I have a blue check mark. When you're verified, that means that you have at least enough of a personality publicly where they need to give you a blue check mark so people know it's actually you. And not only that, it allows other people with blue check marks to give you more respect and treat you better, like you're actually a human being and not shit on you and piss on your face, which is pretty cool. Number two, it allows women to know that you're a fucking baller. Number three, it will probably increase the money I make, whether through brand dealerships or partnerships.
It's not called dealerships. Okay.
Partnerships.
Mm-hmm.
Or with other people allowing me to be on their podcast because they think I'm a real fucking baller now.
Yes.
So I just want to thank everybody for being out there, for supporting me through this tough time. And that, yes, I don't have five specials
on
Netflix.
I just have to say that.
Yes, I've never done late night. Yes, I've never done
never
anything
been on TV
in my life.
Outside of the real world, New Orleans, when you asked a girl how old she was.
But you cannot take this blue check mark away from me. I made it to the mountaintop.
No, I'm really happy for you. The blue check mark means so much to not only just, you know, anyone if you're in the entertainment business, because it is just this like status symbol that means to other celebrities that you are someone. It's honestly this just, you know, made up thing that is just a sure sign that you like when I'm searching through my DMs to see who's messaged me. I go to blue check marks first because they're like not because I'm like, oh, they're verified and they're not a fake person. It means that they have like I can research them a little bit more. They're well known. They might be probably richer. Like it's all shallow fucking bullshit. I will say though that I get so many messages from blue check marks that have like 1,200 followers. And I'm like, how the fuck do you have a blue check? It doesn't really mean as much anymore. And especially not now that Andrew, I'm just kidding. It does mean something. It means so much. But they do give them out. Like, that's the thing that was so frustrating.
No, that's
you
why
getting
it was
them.
Funny. That's why I'm like, that's why I find it comical is because, like, I'll have a buddy because they do it based off of if you have three articles written about you. If you don't have any articles about you, it doesn't matter how many times you've been on Comedy Central Radio, how many times you've been on big podcasts, how many times, you know, someone like to your stature has taken, you know, help me or whatever. Stature. Until you get three articles.
What did you feel when it came through when you got that message?
Here's the thing. How do you feel when you get something that you've really wanted for a long time?
Great.
But how long does it last? It didn't last long. I'm not going to lie. I smiled. I go, great. And then about an hour later, it was over.
Really? I thought you slept so well.
Well, I slept well after the elation, I guess.
If you were a single guy, which I don't technically know that you are, this would mean a whole lot because women really, like when I'm going, look at me going through my messages. So last night on Conan, I said that I was like looking for a boyfriend. So like I got hundreds of messages from guys. I should have been more specific that you have to like live where I live and also be pretty successful and like love what you do for a living and like. I want you to like, I need a man who I wasn't really doing a dating thing because I am looking for a man who like loves his work, is really good at his work, maybe the best at his work, almost like the way I treat my work, takes pride in it, has fun, loves it, and also lives near me. So I got all these messages. So I get all these. Look at these. These are my message requests, Andrew.
Jesus.
Right?
She literally has hundreds.
And then look, what? Guess which one I stopped at first? Boom. This one. Blue check mark from this guy. 85,000.5 followers. He's an actor. I looked.
What did he say?
Just watched Conan and I'd like to say that I am taller than 5'7", working on things and I didn't realize plagued me by not having a father while growing up. I have great credit and I'm from Canada. The last one is a bonus. Talk soon once you've sifted through thousands of like messages. LOL.
That's a great message.
Yeah, it's nice. I'm not exactly attracted to him.
But all in all, like, that's a great, like, it shows he listened to the whole interview, that he took it in.
Yes.
I don't know. I thought that was,
And then I got another blue check mark from this girl named Jess, who hosts a podcast with another person from The Bachelor, and they want to have me on their podcast. So those are the only messages I really got. No, I went to, like, all of them, actually. And they're all very nice, but they're all from guys that live, like, not anywhere close to me.
Are you saying St. Louis? I don't think you mentioned.
I didn't mention it. St. Louis, New York, or LA are my places that I would look for, or like Paris.
So I guess if you're going to message Nikki, write your location first. If you're not living in
sex location, let's go back to chat rooms from AOL, ASL.
ASL.
And then ASL, YS, yearly salary. Just kidding. I have a great salary. I will support a man. This is the thing, I realize that I am totally okay being the breadwinner. I don't need a rich man. I just want a man who is not threatened by a woman with money, has his own money that he doesn't need mine, although I will share it with him if I get married, and that just is secure and happy with his own life. And yep. isn't unfulfilled in any way that I can't fill.
Yeah, so you're saying like a guy could make 50 grand a year as long as he loves his job.
Just kidding. Wait.
Or like around there. Like he
doesn't. Yeah, I don't care. I think I'm going to be financially okay enough that if you are someone who like will take care of me, take care of a house, take care of our animals, take care of like make me feel loved when I get home and like make my environment feel good to be in. You don't have to work at all. You can actually use my money and invest it in things that might make us money. Or I can support your hobbies that will make you happy. That will then make me happy. Because if you're happy, you're going to like be very nice to me when I get home from a long day on the set.
I mean, you would think that's the fucking dream, but you know
guys,
what happens?
Don't
ego.
Like that.
Ego.
Yeah, ego. What? Tell me about that.
Well, I think what happens is it's at the end of the day,
feel like a little bitch.
Yeah.
But
because
what if
it's
money. But what if it's our money? Because that's what I want to spend my money on. And like my money is our money. Like I will have a prenup for sure. But like when we're together, our money, it's our money, and I won't look at it. Like, why do women not have an ego about spending their husband's money? I've never heard my mom go, oh, I can't buy that. It's your dad's money. It's like, get over yourself. It's our money.
Look, I think there would be thousands of guys that would be love that situation. And they get to be with a hot girl.
I don't want to be a sugar mama, but I just want, but you will have to put in the work of making me feel extremely loved and keeping our house nice and tidy, and, or, you know, hiring people to do so and make sure they get in and out on time.
I
don't want to have to like run other shit and clean dishes.
A guy doesn't want to hear you come home from work and be like, why isn't the house nice and tidy? That makes their dick crawl into their...
He won't have to hear that if the house is nice and tidy.
I know. But look, I think it's a great...
If I work all day and pay for everything, the house should be nice and tidy.
Are you going to give the guy complete access to your checking account?
Yeah.
Like, I mean, 100%, like,
yeah, but this is a guy that I trust and like know is a good person.
Question?
And won't take
Let's say he goes out and he buys a $20,000 watch without consulting.
That wouldn't happen in my relationship. That, because I wouldn't buy a $20,000 watch without being like, babe, should I get a $20,000 watch?
So what's the limit? That's what I'm asking, though.
Oh, I mean, like, we just have discussions about high price items, but it's like, I that wouldn't be
what's the number, like, okay, I bought $500 pair of clothes and I got some new shoes and I bought
if those things
whatever,
make
like,
you feel better to go to this premiere with me and feel, or like, and make you feel better about yourself so that you're more confident and you want to like fuck me good because you feel like hot and sexy and you maybe got a couple girls looking at you because you had nice shoes and you come home feeling really like, man, I'm like a man about town and I look sexy. Buy those fucking shoes and then go down on me about them.
I love that. And tap away. But that's my thing, though.
Tap
is
away.
Like, I think at the end of the day, first and foremost, inside joke.
We're on a show right now where people say first and foremost and at the end of the day all the time. It is the number one thing that young people say to sound smart. Well, at the end of the day, and first and foremost. So guys, can we just cut that from our
lexicon?
Yes.
But my thing is, though, is like, I just feel like as a guy, if they were dating you and they felt like they would have to check in on you for their finances, it would be tough.
They wouldn't have to do that. But if they're buying a $20,000 watch, they might need to check in with me. I think that if I were a wife that was spending my husband's money, I wouldn't go buy a $20,000 bracelet, tennis bracelet, without checking with him.
Okay, so that's what I'm asking. Like, what is the number?
Let's get to the news.
5,000?
Let's get to the news.
4,000?
I mean, I don't have a number, Andrew. I think it's more about the thing that you're buying. How dumb is it? A fucking watch is dumb to buy $20,000. I am attracted to men that have $20 watches that are just cool. You don't need a watch.
With a blue check mark.
But if you love it and it reminds you of your great-grandfather or whatever the fuck, fine.
That seems personal.
If it makes you feel good enough, this is the bottom line. If you want to buy something that makes you feel confident and in a way that is going to, that doesn't make you feel confident in an insecure way, but it makes you like, oh, I like the way this looks on me and I feel happier and I'm going to be a better partner because of the way this makes me feel, all for it.
Dope. I think that's a great proposition you gave the guys.
Great. Slide on in.
Slide up.
Make sure you have a blue check mark.
ASL.
ASL. Okay, let's get to the news.
Oh boy, it's coming.
You heard it here first. Yeah, you heard it here first.
Oh man, do we have some good stories for you guys out there? I hope you're having fun and all the swells. Okay, psychological studies support the idea that your music taste says a lot about the way you interpret the world.
Ooh, I mean, how could this not be the case? Great story, by the way. Very pertinent to me.
Look, musical preferences are actually linked to our cognitive styles, our ability to empathize, and personality traits. Empathy levels are linked to preferences within genres, which makes sense. I mean, if a guy's listening to Korn, he's probably going to punch you.
I don't know what Korn lyrics are like. They might be very empathetic.
Okay, can I put in, because that's not true for all the people who listen to heavy metal and Korn. It just says that people who like more intense music are probably more logical and have a systemized way of thinking, as opposed to slower type of music that ranges from like R&B to soft rock. And those people are like have more of a tendency to empathize.
Okay, so this is a Korn lyric. I want to get a twist. I wish we could put twist on a fucking tape. Stupid. Want to hear it? Fuck you. Huh. Yeah. Goo. Okay, you piece of shit. Anger inside builds within my body. Why you hit me? What have I done? You tried to hit me. Scream at me again if you like. Throw your hate at me with all your might. Hit me because I'm strange. Hit me. Tell me I'm a pussy and you're harder than me. What's with you, boy? Think hard. A tattooed body to hide who you are. Scared to be honest. Be yourself, a cowardly man. Okay. First of all, there's a lot of emotion in that. That is not.
First of all, how did you get my dad's email? Second of all.
That's the song Clown by Korn.
I feel so analytical
now. I just
picked
a random song.
Yeah, that was so.
I tried to pick the safest song. I was like, Clown seems like it'll be a fun romp.
I mean, look, it's not rocket science that if you listen to more chill music, you're more chill. But are you listening to chill music because you're murdering babies?
This is about empathy, I think.
As an empath?
As an empath. That's which is another thing term that people say on the show that I'm making a lot. As an empath, I am probably not one because that's just a thing I read and I was like, wow, that seems like something I should say. And I just stole it from them. I feel that I was just saying this to my friend the other night. I listen to Taylor Swift to feel my feelings. That's just how I process them. I can't get there on my own. It's like porn for my feelings. And that's why I love her so much, is because when I first heard her, I was like, I've never heard music that is so articulate for how I'm feeling. So I feel, it's not like I feel for her. I feel for myself. I'm able to empathize with myself, which is not something I am good at doing. I don't even know if that's a thing, empathizing with yourself, but I really don't ever do that. I don't let myself go you poor thing. And sometimes when I hear her songs, there's a song that I've never even really gotten into of hers. And I heard it the other day, on my Instagram, on Explore, there was a clip of her singing it. I was like, whoa, these lyrics are what I'm living right now. And now I'm super into this new song that I've just always skipped because it just articulated what I'm feeling so well, better than even I could if I was to journal about it.
I feel like next time you're in that state, put on some Slipknot, and I want to see. Just put it on for me and just text me how it makes you feel.
Yeah.
And just at that moment when you're on a hammock,
yeah,
just throw on some fucking Slipknot. Well, hey, Nikki, stop being a bitch, you coward little motherfucker.
I can't ever understand those screaming men, but Andrew, we do it every day when we drive to set. We have a 30-minute drive, yeah. And I always put on music that is articulating how I feel, but also is how I want to feel during the day. So we always end with, there's some hoes in this house. There's some hoes in this house. Man, you fucking with some wet-ass pussy. It's just such a good, when I'm feeling a little bit insecure, I put on wet-ass pussy and I just feel, Cardi B makes me feel really empowered and almost like a man. I can have anything I want. I call the shots. My pussy is gold. You wish you could have it. All these things that are just not really that true. And
some of the stuff that you were talking about the other day about people saying, oh, your comedy's, pornographic or whatever.
Yeah.
But Cardi B doesn't give up, leans into care. That so fucking strong that it probably empowers you to That's be like, no, this is what I want to talk about.
Porn
Fuck
stars
you.
And Cardi B, because they lean into being sexual and they're not whores because of it. I feel so often I'm misconstrued as a whore because I talk about sex when really I'm just someone who wants to talk about something that we all enjoy and that I want to talk about why I can't do this thing that I love so much. And I'm really just a sweet little whore.
Yeah, no, but people's lit, it's taboo. And it's what the fuck are you talking about?
On the song Up, if he had a twin, I would let him
run
a train.
Which would be a short train.
And when Megan Thee Stallion says, if he asks my name, if he fuck me, he asks, whose is it? And when I ride the dick, I'ma spell my name. That kind of stuff is they're funny. Cardi B and Megan Thee Stallion and so many other rapists are so funny.
They are, dude.
I always say Eminem was my earliest comedic influence, or one of them, because he was just so funny.
And
so fast.
I feel that environment affects my music choices way more than it does yours.
Yeah, you want to listen to Jack Johnson when the waves are crashing.
Honestly, I do. And I know it's cheesy.
It's but, not. That helps
but,
you feel.
But if I'm in New York, like I'm listening to like more.
Making my way downtown, walking fast, face as fast as a homebound. That's you crossing 9th Avenue.
Oh yeah.
I just picture you listening to that song. Or the what's the one that would play at the beginning of.
I listen to way more sad music in New York.
Staring at the blank page before you. Open up the dirty window. That's Andrew every time he's coming out of the subway and looking around at the big city.
Yeah. And
reaching for something.
And then some bum fucking shits on me. And I'm like, man, I love New York. I miss it so much.
And then it plays Clown by Korn. Dad, why don't you love me? You called me a fucking asshole. What's with you, boy? Think hard. A tattooed body to hide who you are. Scared to be honest. Be yourself, you cowardly man. Hit me, clown, because I'm not from your town. No, hit me, clown, because I'm not from your town. Oh, my God. These lyrics are hilarious.
Honestly, it's making me in a better mood.
We should literally pull up Korn lyrics and sing them to Taylor Swift songs.
Oh, my God.
That would be fun.
Yes. Okay, right, next story. A Michigan man, I love this story. A Michigan man is charged with repeatedly poisoning his co-worker's water bottle with antifreeze. The victim told police she became suspicious after noticing her water tasted strange. So they installed a spy camera and then they caught him putting green liquid in. This is the best. The guy claimed he thought he was adding vitamin C drops to his own water bottle. That was his excuse he came up with after having.
Oh my God. So he's trying to kill her. I mean,
with
I think
antifreeze, and he's saying it's my.
I'm sure this is a lot of people's like secret fantasy of poisoning someone you work with.
Oh,
I know
slowly.
It's mine. Yeah.
But no. You would pick like antifreeze is very obvious. Like,
yes,
it's like you're putting a green substance in water. Like,
yeah. I mean, I've heard this with like guys like just want women to like eat their cum, so they'll like. Drop cum in their food at work and stuff.
Oh,
just gross guys.
Oh, I thought you meant they drink antifreeze and then you eat their cum and then you get antifreeze through
what
their
What do you
cum.
Use antifreeze on windshield wipers? Is that the windshield wiper fluid? No?
I don't know.
Oh.
No.
Noah, do you know?
Yeah, it is. Yeah, it cleans the car.
That'd be weird if she was like, she first noticed when she saw her coworker, Alex, using his windshield wiper, and there wasn't a lot of fluid coming out, and she thought, "Where's the rest of it?" And then she felt like if it was
must
just
be
like,
in his cum.
This guy's insane. I mean, I realized like I always had an excuse lined up for if I got caught for anything illegal I used to do. I always had the plan to why I was like, "Oh my God, I accidentally left this bracelet on. I was trying it on and I left it on. I didn't mean to steal it." You know, like I always had an out. But I don't do anything illegal anymore. Or like if I get now when I smoke pot and it's illegal and it's like out in public, I just go, all right, well, I'll just be like, oh, I was smoking pot. Like I can't. I
got the bracelet. I bought this bracelet. They're like, you're smoking pot, ma'am.
Well, I don't buy the anymore. Bracelet. So I like I would just be caught. I just have to like when I do something illegal now, I just go, OK, if you're caught, you're caught. There's no like there's no planning excuses.
Well, I got caught my house. I you know, I lost all my money. And they tried to foreclose on my house. So this guy would show up because I stopped paying the mortgage.
You bought a house?
I bought a condo.
Okay.
And the guy tried, because I stopped paying, they were trying to foreclose on me. And I had like court ordered.
Oh my
and he
God,
would show
this is
up,
so funny.
He would show up at my house every morning at 7 a.m. And I would hide in the bathroom. I'd hide in the shower. And my excuse when I would eventually go to court was I was in the shower. I didn't hear him. And one
and
time,
like, sir, you smell like you haven't showered in 40
You
weeks.
Smell like, yeah. And so he goes, one day he's looking through the window. He goes, hey, man, I see you going in there every time. Like, I see you going in the bathroom. And at that point I was like, yeah, you got me. Like,
yeah,
like, it was like the worst. Like I was in the shower. Like
you
that's like,
you used to behave so hilariously before Zoloft and before you like got your life together. When you used to hook up with you would hook up with a girl and you would be so nervous when you would see her out in public that you would pretend you were invisible
mm-hmm.
is one of the weirdest things I've ever heard. Andrew was at a Sephora one day.
Yeah, Sephora buying cologne, and this girl that I hooked up with like a few weeks before that was like three people behind me. And while I was paying, in my mind, I convinced myself I was invisible, that she didn't see me. But boy, was I, it was pretty obvious.
You really thought that. Like, you really were like, that's how I have to, like, survive this interaction. And it wasn't like you were trying to avoid her, like, she's clingy and I don't want to see her. You just, like, had anxiety.
Yes.
So often when women were like, he fucking ignored me, it's not that. It's not because he doesn't like you. It's because he has such anxiety. He's pretending he's invisible like a toddler.
Yeah, also, I didn't like her. Okay, next story. Norwegian researchers find that regret does not keep people from avoiding future one-night stands.
Regret does not keep people from avoiding future one-night stands.
That they'll repeat their, even if they regret it, they're going to repeat their decisions, their horrible decisions. Yes. Well, not horrible.
I think regret actually pushes you into further repetitive behavior of the thing you regret, because the reason you do things, like I was saying about like eating the cookies that you don't eat. You have a thing of cookies and you're like, I want to save these for the weekend, for the kids, for the family. I'll have a couple. And you go, you know what? I'm just going to open them on the way home from the grocery store. I'll have two. Then you have two and you go, let me just have a third because that wasn't enough. I'm going to have a third. And then you feel bad about that third. You went over your limit. Oh no. Then you feel bad and you have regret. And that feeling of regret needs to be calmed and soothed. And what drug do you have to soothe it? What distraction? More Oreos or whatever. So then you eat the rest of the bag. So the feeling of regret causes more behavior of the thing that you already regret. So the regret does not help in literally any way. It is a worthless feeling, and I refuse to have it anymore. I really don't. I laugh when I have it and I ignore it, but I don't have regret anymore.
While you're biting your nail?
Because I have a little piece of skin like that. Oh, yeah.
I think, you know, it just goes back to when I used to drink and you'd be so hungover, and that day of the hangover, you're like, I'm never going to drink again. And then the next day comes, you go, okay, I maybe might not drink again. And then by the third day, you have completely forgot about that. Regret?
Yeah. Regret breeds anxiety, which then leads to more destructive behavior.
Yeah. And you like that feeling, actually.
What? Or,
I mean, I miss sometimes that feeling of being hungover and just...
Really?
Because it kind of makes you feel...
entitled to do more destructive things?
There was something about being hungover where I knew what it was. Like, I knew, like, what that pain was. Like, I...
Oh, so you weren't hypochondriac, like, I'm dying feeling?
Yeah, yeah.
So now when you feel sick, you're like, I'm dying.
I mean... I used to, but I'm actually pretty good with it now. I kind of laugh at my hypochondria.
It's time for some celeb news.
Why do I care?
All right, Andrew, why do I care today?
Kim Kardashian is the 2,674th on the list of Forbes billionaires, which is the largest it has ever been after growing her business empire with a shapewear line.
Mm-hmm.
Why do you care, Nick?
I really don't. I don't care. I think billionaires are gross. And I think it's a sad pursuit. And I think it's too much money for any person to have. I think billionaires should be illegal. And I hope she donates 10% of her wealth, but she probably won't, because billionaires get to be billionaires because they're greedy. And that's more money than they could ever spend in a lifetime on themselves and their loved ones. And I think wealth is disgusting. And I think now with more billionaires and Kim Kardashian being now and Kylie being this face of like, you could be a billionaire too. It's just like makes your self-worth about how much you earn. And it's just, ASLYS, but like, I don't want it to be a billion. I just think it's just too much money and it's gross.
And then what's crazy is like billionaires, like these rich people, they do better during the pandemic. Like they've never done better than the last year and a half.
Yeah.
Which is,
It's greed. If you're a billionaire, you're gross to me. You're pretty like,
but
thanks
is it
for
something
doing
as a woman being a billionaire who
can't. No, I don't care. I think it's all gross. I don't think women should aspire to be billionaires. I don't think men should. I just think literally it should be illegal to be a billionaire. I think there should be a cap. But
now she's going to law school and she can focus on herself finally.
Great. Guess what? It's like the blue check mark. And Paris Hilton said this to me. She was like, her goal was to always be worth $100 million, and now it's $1 billion. Like the it will always get more. Like it'll never be enough. No one's ever going to be satisfied with the amount of money. It's a sickness. It's an addiction, and it's gross to me.
Maybe
so
I could get
no
two.
Congratulations to Kim Kardashian. I like you. Good for you to feel better, but unless you're using that money to actually change the world and not just like get one guy out of prison one time, and then we all like say you're like a saint, which I'm sure you do a lot. I actually think she's a good person. But she needs to distribute that wealth.
I told someone that I got a blue check mark, and they're like, wow, maybe you'll become the person. Have you seen the people with two blue check marks? That's what they said to me.
Oh my God.
And it goes right to that. And I go, are you fucking serious? Are you serious? There's people with two. And that's the billion. That's the 100 millionaire finding about billionaires.
Yeah.
And you're just never satisfied. And
it's never enough.
I'd be honest. I swear to you, I think I'd be satisfied with $5 million. That's all I need.
That's more than you need. That's more than anyone needs.
I'm just saying I don't need a billion.
$5 million is so much goddamn money. You don't need that much.
Can I have it?
Here's the thing. I just don't want, like, I really...
You don't want $5 million?
I mean, I would so I can build things for and save animals and donate it. I really will give away most of my wealth. Not most of my wealth, but, like, you know, a big portion of it. Because it's just, like... That's your job when you get rich. You've been lucky enough to skirt through life. And I don't care if you're self-made. You're not self-made. You were born in America, which is a place where you had more. Yes, I'm sure you grew up from poverty and your parents were blue collar workers and you got yourself, you supported yourself and you pushed yourself and you got the scholarships and everything. You aren't actually self-made. You got lucky being born in America. You're not in this, you know, South Sudan as a young girl who had a clitorectomy and can't go get schooling. Like, you lucked out not being her. So, like, this whole thing of, like, I did it myself. It's all luck. It's all luck. Good for you. I'm glad you did all those things. But everything you get is luck. I don't attribute any of my success to, I'm such a hard worker. It's lucky that I was born someone who can work harder than other people. It's all luck. Nothing is me doing it. I truly believe that.
It's just
that.
Not as cool of a story.
It isn't, but it's true. All right, let's move on.
Started
to...
from the top and now I'm close to the bottom.
No, I'm really excited for you for your blue check mark. I want everyone to be happy out there. I'm not trying to be negative. It's just how
no,
I feel.
I think that's honest. And I think...
And it's a good... I learned it from Sam Harris. He was talking about people who say, like, who are self-made. Any of these people who claim to be... You know, Kylie Jenner got fucking trashed for, you know, Forbes calling her self-made billionaire, which is laughing, but like is a laughing matter. But literally anyone who thinks they're self-made, you're not. You didn't choose to be born in America where you have these opportunities or wherever you were born. You're lucky that you weren't born a bug that was smashed on the sidewalk. So you didn't choose any of this. You just got lucky. No, I worked hard. You got lucky being a person who has able-bodied enough to work hard and stay up late and work. Like all these
Man,
things are
these
luck.
Could be corn lyrics.
Yeah, Dad, you clown. I'm gonna
You're like a bug smashed on the sidewalk. Fuck you, coward, you didn't earn it.
Just a fucking little scared to be honest. Be yourself a cowardly man. What's with you, boy? Think hard, a tattooed body to hide who you are. That's corn. Okay, that's actually good. I feel like better now. All right. Let's get to our segment. Yesterday I learned. And this is usually something that I get from Reddit. There's a Reddit subreddit called Today I Learned. And it's all just like interesting facts that you didn't know until someone posts them on Reddit. I really love it. And I was just looking through Reddit today to find out one. So this is not Yesterday I Learned, even though the segment is called Yesterday I Learned. I did learn this today. No, I just want to be honest with people. Is that okay?
That's fine. It's always good to peek behind the curtain sometimes.
Yeah. Well, this is something I should have known yesterday.
That's what your boyfriend said to you.
Oh, yeah. Peek behind those curtains. See if you can find my clit.
You can't.
Betty White. Did you know this?
We were talking about Betty White.
I know. Yes. We were talking about how cocaine is called
Jahlil White. Yeah, Jahlil White.
No, it's called Urkel, yes. You said. Some people call cocaine Urkel because it's... Like Jahlil White was Urkel. You said Jahlil, but I don't know why you can't get that right. Jahlil White. And I go, because the white, what's with the Jahlil part? And they're like, he's like, no, it's like cocaine's white. And I'm like, well, why couldn't it be Betty White? And then you just say gold. You wanted to snort some Golden Girls. And you're like, what was her character's name on Golden Girls? And we couldn't come up with it. And I go, why can't you just call it Betty? You want to do some Betty? And people are like, what's Betty? And you're like, cocaine, because Betty White.
It's too quick to get to white.
Yeah, and Urkel's a funnier word. Okay, this is crazy about Betty White. Betty White hosted a 5.5 hour long live talk show 6 days a week from 1949 to 1953.
Holy shit.
Hollywood on Television was a 5.5 hour, 6 days a week live television show
starring newcomer Betty White and radio disc jockey Al Jarvis that ran from 1949 to 1953. This is the Wikipedia. That is insane.
It's like a telethon every day.
How is that possible? That's what makes that boggles my mind about this business is that like that woman's still around, right?
Yeah.
And we don't even know that about her. Think of the things people used to do and the shows, the fame that people used to have. Like you go back to, you look up Oscar winners from like 1977 or even like 1982, and there are names that you wouldn't recognize. And they were huge stars then. It just, it makes you, I sometimes look that stuff up to remember that like all of this is so fleeting and that fame really
doesn't. There's Oscar winners from 5 years ago. You wouldn't even know their name.
Yeah. Yeah.
But what does that do to you? Does that make you sad? Like,
no.
Do you compare us doing this hour show Monday through Thursday to Betty White doing that 5.5 hours?
No, you know, it makes me go, oh, wow. Like, my compulsion to broadcast constantly is not something new due to this digital age of being able to do that all the time. Like, people are capable of that. Other people, like,
are you
longevity-
scared, though, that you're going to be forgotten? Like,
no.
I do feel like, well, I've talked to other comedians. They're like, why do you work so hard? Well, I want my name to live on, you know, after me, or, you know, they say shit like that.
Yeah, it's not going to live on. I always think about how when the world is like eventually Barack Obama, me, and Abraham Lincoln will all be forgotten by everyone who is alive or who isn't alive. Like someday we will all be the same. We will be a faint memory, like not even a memory. Like if the world keeps going and like there's people who existed that 1,000 years ago that were like the biggest deal and no one knows what they look like. You know, like there's entire civilizations where there was probably like the hottest guy or like the most famous guy in Pompeii. We don't know who that was. And he had a blue check mark.
There's just one temple that we find underneath dirt.
Yeah,
and we're
see like a dog and a girl like holding a dog. And now she's like the most famous person from Pompeii of like covered in ashes. But it really was this like influencer named, I'm trying to do some like Dan Blazarian, but like Egyptian. It was Pompeii in Egypt? No, it's in Italy.
Guess we'll never know. I think it's Netherlands.
I think Rome.
Oh, it's in Rome. Yeah. Okay.
And Rome, I mean, you go to Rome. Yeah, what is kind of cool about going to Rome is you actually see the historical shit. Like I was in the Colosseum. Like you see, like it's wild that.
Did you get box seats?
I did. I got box seats. I got hooked up. Yeah, it's pretty dope. I watched a tiger kill a fucking gladiator.
Cool. Did you have like, was there a cool halftime show where like,
the weekend came out and everyone's like, who the fuck is this guy? And then they didn't even have
like weeks back then. So the weekend in ancient Roman times
was not the singer, the weekend. It was the actual weekend. Saturday and Sunday came out.
Right. So when the sun was up longer than, I don't even know how they did the weekends back in.
It was by Betty White.
My point is, it's like
I get what you're saying.
I'm
like you're forgotten. Like what's the point of anything?
Betty White is still around, and like she had that. Like she was, and we've already forgotten about that. And we don't give her any credit for that. Not that anyone deserves credit for anything, because again, no one does. Ever. It's just all luck. But like Lady Gaga will be not that known about in 30 or 40 years. Kids will be like, oh my God, they'll think of her like the way we think of, I mean, I guess Cher, it'll be the same thing. So I'm trying to think of someone that was like really famous, like a heartthrob. Oh, like for instance, if you look at, what's the movie with Tom Cruise and Kevin Bacon, the pilots? Top Gun. So they're doing the remake of it.
Yes.
The woman that was the heartthrob in that movie is now, like a character you'd see on The Office, like a woman on The Office, if you know what I'm saying.
Yes.
Like just like a woman in the background that like is just, like that's the only kind of role she would play. They're still playing these heartthrob guys. This woman who was like everyone jerked off to, the hottest woman alive. Like no one even knows her name now. She was the Jessica Alba of her time. And it's not, that's not me making a feminist stance of like men get it so easy, because there are a lot of heartthrob men that are forgotten about now. Mickey Rourke used to be like a sex symbol. Marlon Brando was like so hot, and then he turned into like a bloated like drunk, I think. I don't know, I'm just guessing. But like people lose their, but just to be something that's such a big deal, like that's why I never let anything go to my head in terms of like, wow, you're so hot right now, because it's gonna be taken away.
Well, I mean, I think what we're learning here is that whether it's whether it's fame or money, those shouldn't be your pursuits, because none of that at the end of the day matters.
But then
what does matter? Does the process, like,
no, what matters is that you bring happiness to others and you make other people's fleeting time on this world as good as it can be, and you help people feel good and do good unto others so that we can all, for this brief time we're on this world, feel as good as possible. As my favorite person, Sam Harris, says, every person you know will lose every person they love, no matter what, whether they'll die and they'll lose everyone, or every person or they'll be the last to die and they'll lose everyone they know and love. Think about that. Everyone you know, including yourself, will lose everyone and everything you know and love.
But here's the thing. I might die.
So why not be as kind and try to spread as much kindness as possible? That being said, I will still talk trash on people because I have an ego and it gets the best of me sometimes.
But at the end of the day, first and foremost, I might die.
For what it's worth.
But my blue check mark will also die too, because Instagram is probably going to be.
Yeah, I mean, you're getting one at the very tail end of Instagram. Did you get a blue check mark on Instagram too?
Huh? On TikTok? Did you get
one on a blue check mark on Instagram? Or Twitter too?
No. Just I haven't tried that one.
All right. Well, Andrew has a blue check mark. Follow him on there. We're very happy for you. Let's do a final thought.
I love this show today. I hope everyone had
fun. I preached a lot.
No, preach. You don't preach. I feel like what's great about you is like you're coming to these realizations right now. Like, it feels very like current.
Yeah, I am. Like, and you don't know the answer. I'm struggling with the end of this show. Like, we have 9 days left filming this show that I've spent, 7 weeks of my life on, and I've made like so many close friends, and just, I love this job. I wish it could last forever. And it can't. And I've accepted that. And it's just kind of like life. Like, you don't get to, you can't take it with you. Like, things end. And I'm just trying to stay in the present instead of going like, I'm going to miss it so much. I'm just trying to stay with like gratitude that it happened now, and like, not wasting the present thinking about the future when I'm going to be in pain missing this, and just really trying to realize like this is a metaphor for life, the show, and that it will come to an end, and maybe we'll get to do a second season in a different place, but it'll be different people. It won't be the same, but that's okay, because that's what life is. You can't keep going forever.
There is something about being here on the island, shooting a show where it's kind of drinking that eternal, that cup from Indiana Jones. Like, we don't feel like we're aging here. Like, we're kind of just, we're like the whole
I don't
stay
know
is
any
the show.
News. I don't know anything what's going on with my family. Like,
but
I'm
I don't
really,
feel like I could die here.
No, nothing can happen here.
You're on the island.
It's like literally nothing. It's because the
that's
thing
what
is,
you're afraid of
if
losing.
If I get canceled or if something does happen, I can just stay here and like escape it. It doesn't feel like there's climate change here. Even though it's, lizards are not as abundant as the road signs would suggest. There's crossing lizard signs everywhere. Haven't seen a fucking iguana yet. They used to be everywhere and now they're nowhere. There's just tons of chickens here, which
they
I
never
love.
Looked both ways.
Yeah, why did the lizard cross the road? It didn't, because it got run over by a car, and now they're kind of probably extinct due to changing climate. Due to carbon emissions from human activity. Noah, you look confused.
I'm just thinking about what you said about the show wrapping up, and I'm wondering if this is kind of something that people don't consider about being part of like TV and Hollywood and all of that, because you go through this a lot on shows that you feel really passionate about, and it becomes your world, and then it kind of comes to an end.
Yes. But it really is like any job, whether you're like a doctor and you work at a hospital forever and you retire after 45 years or whatever, it's like that will end too. Everything ends, and it is sad. And I'm 9 days away. I'm like already getting depressed, and I don't want to be. I just want to just be like, I still have 9 days. That's a long time. That's a really great length of a vacation.
And not to mention we're going to have another 7 days after that. But, so you should be happy about that. But
that's true. I still won't get to go to work.
But think about how lucky we are where, yes, everything ends, but we also get new beginnings. And I know that's like a cheesy saying, but there is something to know that like Like, so many people, their ending is just their end. And then now it's like garden work.
No, it never is like that. You can always look at endings as new beginnings. Like yesterday when we lost that podcast, I was like, I'm glad that happened, because the fact that we're doing a new one, something's going to come out of this that wouldn't have happened. So literally everything you lose in life, you can find a silver lining, as trite as that sounds. But I know it's true. I just know it's true.
My point being is, like, we get to have more beginnings than a lot of other people, in the sense of, like,
and I'm probably hiring two of the girls on this show to, like, move to St. Louis and
two
work
dumb
for
bitches.
Me. Yeah. So
they're the best.
Two dumb bitches styling.
Shout out Jen and Robin.
Jen and Robin, we know you're listening. I love you so much. We gotta go. I gotta go to set and live my 9th to last day here.
Can't wait.
Working on the show. I mean, we had the day off yesterday.
We worked harder yesterday than we have the whole time.
I know. And then you helped me with Conan. And then we did two podcasts. And then we just sat around set all day. And like the people, they were shooting stuff that did not involve me. And then thus didn't involve Andrew. So we're just like lounging on this beautiful day bed, like looking at the water, like just being pieces of shit while there's crew around us setting up shots. And like, it was,
they're like, why are you guys still here?
Yeah. But I was chatting up the crew. I got to know all these crew that I haven't met yet. And I got to hear their stories of how they got here and like why they picked this job. And I was like, do you like this job? And it was so funny because I'm asking them about their job, Noah. And I'm like, so do you like, why'd you pick this? Is this something that you picked early on and then you just like kind of stuck with it because it was like all you were doing? And like, are you having fun? Do you enjoy it? And they're like, yeah, yeah. And I go, would you like, if your kids wanted to go into this work, would you have them? They all were like, no, God, no. And I go, okay, well, that answers my question. Like,
you're like, would you rather hold that 80-pound camera or lay on this daybed?
They said it was all about, they go, I just wouldn't want my kids to have the back issues I have now because of all the equipment I've carried. And I'm like, I guarantee you have fucked up your back from carrying equipment, but I think I got a book that I can send you. And so I'm sending them Healing Back Pain by Dr. John Sarno. And I gave them all a TED talk about the book. So pick up that book if you have back pain, Healing Back Pain by Dr. John Sarno. We'll see you tomorrow. We have one more show this week. I can't believe it's only one.
I know.
I could do this show 7 days a week, but don't tell
I could Betty White
that.
It. We could Betty White
Betty
it.
White.
Best friends. Thank you so
Best
much for
friends,
listening.
Thank you so much for listening. Thank you for following our Instagram, which by the way, if you follow Nikki Glaser Pod, on Instagram, there's like exclusive content on there that I don't put up on my personal ones, 'cause I feel like there's too many people to like comment mean things to me, but my best friends that follow the account, we keep it private because we don't want people who don't listen to the podcast to be on it. So if you do request, make sure it's because you listened to at least one episode, which if you're hearing this, you have. So you are through and we will accept your request. Nikki Glaser Pod. Please keep rating, reviewing. We have like 800 and something reviews on iTunes podcasts or Apple podcasts. And thank you so much for those. I even made a review yesterday. I said, this is Nikki and this is my podcast, but I do recommend it. And so just give me a review and 5 stars or however many stars you see fit. But if you want to give less than 5 stars, I would probably guess that there's really no point in reviewing. Just be nice. Only compliments. Go watch my Conan from yesterday. It's on YouTube. It's 30 minutes long. And go follow Andrew T. Collin because he's verified now, and it will feel good to follow that blue check mark.
Okay.
Okay. See you tomorrow.